This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave in for Terry Gross. Chen Kaiga is best known for his films Farewell, My Concubine and Temptress Moon, both epic stories of loss and betrayal. These are themes Kaiga understands well. As a teenager during the Cultural Revolution, he was forced to denounce his own father, also a well-known filmmaker. In his new film, Together, Kaiga takes a true story involving a father and his musically gifted son and weaves a coming-of-age tale infused with more light and optimism than his earlier work. The cast includes many non-actors. Kaiga himself has a role in the film. The central conflict involves a choice the child has to make between two violin teachers. Terry asked Kaiga to describe them.
The first one is the one that sort of culturally, I mean, he got lost. And he's the one sort of way behind the time, you know. And he doesn't know how to handle his own life, but he's the one believe in music. He's the one believe that those kids should play the instrument with their hearts.
And he's kind of broke. He's not really interested in money. He's pretty bohemian and disheveled in a pretty bohemian kind of way.
Yes. But I'm familiar with this kind of intellectual, mm-hmm. you know. And I think he may represent so-called old culture, an old value, and represents something that we used to believe a lot, you know. And, you know, my father, not necessarily just like him, but, you know, I mean, many, many people in my father's generation are just like that. And the second one, you know, the one played by myself, is the one that I consider as a star maker. You know, he can guarantee the success for his students. And he, I guess, that represents, you know, I mean, the current value of Chinese society today.
Why did you cast yourself as the star-making teacher as opposed to the intellectual teacher who reminded you of your father?
Well, the thing is that, you know, I mean, I had a problem to cast, you know, this guy because, you know, those professors either were too busy or not experienced to work in front of camera. That's the problem. So one day that a friend of mine who's also a director came to me and just say, you know, I know you really worry about that, but why don't you just cast yourself? I said, so why you say this? And he said that I saw you work, you know, on set with your actor, you know, you're pretty much like this guy. And I think no one can really understand you better than you are. You do. And I said, okay, I try. I think the reason I want to decide to do that is that I'm almost in the same situation with this professor. You know, I'm considered by many Chinese people that I'm a star maker. You know, I can, for example, this young boy, the young violinist, after he did my movie and he became sort of celebrity in China and he received a lot of interviews and he became somebody. You know, in the school compound, and his life's been dramatically changed. And he used to study in Shanghai. Now he moved from Shanghai to Beijing, become the student of number one professor in China. So I want to ask my question by doing this part. Am I doing the same thing like what he does in this movie or not? Whether there's a difference between this guy and me. You know, what I really believe, what I really want, you know. I think I got answer after did this part.
What was the answer?
The answer is that there's a huge difference, you know, between this guy and me. You know, I don't have that kind of, you know, I mean, moral problem, I guess, that, you know, I will never really push so hard to let my actor do things they don't want to do. You know, that's not me. And I sort of denounce that kind of, you know, totally reject that kind of value. I don't believe that.
What kinds of things would the teacher push his students to do that they wouldn't want to do?
The thing is that, you know, they always say you need more time. They all believe, you know, I mean, to be a musician is a technical thing. you know, if you are more patient, if you practice, you know, spend more time to practice, you can guarantee yourself, like, you know, you can be a very good musician. It's completely wrong. I mean, if you don't play with your heart, you will never, ever be a good musician, you know. But they never taught their students like that.
When you were making Together, did you have to submit the film to Chinese censors, or did you even have to submit the script before you made the film to Chinese censors to make sure that it was acceptable to them?
Yes, I did. You know, this is the process that I need to submit the screenplay to the National Film Bureau first. Let them to prove it. I think they have a committee, and the member of the committee are not necessarily only the government officials, but including some old filmmakers. And they just look at the script. But this time I was okay with the script. They just say, go ahead and shoot it. But afterwards, that I thought that I was pretty safe, but someone, you know, talked to me nicely. And they just say, look, we're not really in favor of the character you played. So is there any way to do a slight change or something? I said in a very nice way as well. I said, unfortunately, that this movie is officially finished because, you know, the post-production is finished. There is no way to add anything in or change, you know, even slightly. So then they say, okay, so that's it.
Farewell, My Concubine was censored in China, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it showed in the United States. Did it ever show in China?
Yes, but it's a different version.
So the film was cut.
Yes.
And were most of the cuts during the part of the Cultural Revolution? The movie traces two characters who are in the Peking Opera.
Yes.
And a part of it takes place during the Cultural Revolution. It takes place over like five decades. So is that the part that they didn't like?
Quite honestly, I don't know.
Because
they didn't really bother to talk to me. They just gave me very simple sentence, like the film must be released and the film must be cut. So there's nothing specific, like, you know, what you have to cut. I just told them that, you know, if you think there's a need to cut the film, go ahead and do it. But not me. I didn't do it.
You're one of China's most famous artists. And if the censors censor you, that news gets out around the world because your movies show around the world, and
right.
it makes China look bad. Do they care?
They do. So that's why I can receive, you know, the better treatments.
So you get special treatment.
And then other directors, particularly the younger directors, yeah.
But that's kind of like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, has it made a sound? If you make a great film and it's re-edited by the censors and it's no longer a great film, have you made a great film?
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's why, you know, some people are doing the movie underground, meaning that you don't submit the screenplay to the film bureau.
Right.
And you don't really, you know, shoot openly, meaning that there is no press
right.
for you.
So can you screen it underground in China, or can you
Yes,
only...
you can. Yes, you can, because you can develop the film in the lab. You can also show the movie somewhere, you know. But you can't really release the film commercially.
Right.
You can't do that because you don't have a permission. I think it's a pity. I would do something like, I would bring them together, the both sides. The censors and the filmmakers, let them to have a nice talk. Because to me, I feel like it doesn't make sense at all to have this kind of censorship.
Your father was a famous filmmaker in China. What kind of movies did your father make?
My father made, you know, literally, you know, dramas. Of course, something really about revolution. And the most famous one is called The Song of Youth.
So this is called Song of Youth?
Yes.
What was it about?
It's about young intellectuals, you know, how they enjoy the revolution in the early 30s in Shanghai and Beijing. So it's also sort of love story, you know, elements there.
Gee, so here he is making a story about how positive the revolution was, but he was punished. He was imprisoned during the Cultural Revolution.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Why did the government turn against him?
It's not only him. I think the group of intellectuals and filmmakers were not being trusted by the party because of their, you know, political background and their educational background and so on. Mostly that those government officials, you know, who were in charge of the business at that time, were all from countryside. They're not very well educated.
So being intellectual, being sophisticated, even being urban, was something you were going to be punished for.
No, there is a. I guess the main reason was Chairman Mao.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the story that he wasn't very well educated in any university or college. He was sort of self-taught. He was a genius politically. But I guess that he didn't really like those intellectuals. That became a very big issue during the Cultural Revolution.
Now, I know that this is a story you've talked about before, but when you were young, during the Cultural Revolution, you were asked by the Chinese authorities to denounce your father. How did they approach you?
No, it's not really a Chinese authority. You know, at that time, there is no authority at all except Chairman Mao himself. It's very weird. Those revolutionaries literally were my father's colleagues. They were either lighting men or... just doing the production people. You know, they call themselves workers, but they were not necessarily only workers. And they sort of took action against my father and other directors. And they thought that I was perfect, you know, to be used for them, you know, against my father.
So how did they approach you?
They just, you know, they came to me and just say, well, in the name of a revolution, you must do something, you know. You must disclose some secret of your father. I said, what secret? And they say, you may know that if you don't know, we want to tell you. You know, that will be more powerful if you say that than we do it. I think human nature is very complicated. At that moment, I think I want to make this as a film in the future. I was a very good student of my class, probably one of the best students. I thought that, oh my God, everything's changed overnight. I can't stand that anymore. I feel like I want to prove that I'm still the best student of the class. I want to prove myself as very faithful to Chairman Mao. So I knew that my father wasn't a secret agent for any political party at all. I knew that he was very innocent. But I decided to denounce him because I want to prove I'm innocent. So that is the way of how the political campaign going on there.
So what did you denounce him for?
No, just because I was told that he was the secret agent for Nationalist Party. Of course he wasn't. I just said that in front of public. I mean, I think that's deeply hurt not only my father but myself as well, because, you know, I told lies and I knew he wasn't. But I was, surprisingly, you know, I was sort of, they like it. The revolutionaries just, you know, praise me as a good boy or something.
Right. So you had to do this in public?
No, there is a sort of a struggle session. with a couple of, you know, 100 people around. In the place where we live, you know, there is a sort of small square, you know, between buildings. So that struck session just taking place there.
You know, it's interesting, like, good children are brought up to respond well to praise. And you were going to get more praise by denouncing your father.
Yes. What kind of people they are, you know? I got very confused, you know, at that time. Because I mean, what I want to say is that I think I'm very sort of unusual person, meaning that most people at that time kneel down to say, forgive me, this is my fault, all right? In order to get forgiveness from this authority. But after Cultural Revolution, most people just stand up, you know, shouting that that's all their fault.
All somebody else's fault.
Right. I never really want to do it. I don't want to take the responsibility for what I did. Okay? But I'm the other way around. So at that time, yes, I did make mistake. And then later on, I want to identify with this. I want to say, this is my fault.
Right.
Because if no one want to take the responsibility, something will happen again like that.
What did your father say to you after you denounced him?
He hardly to say anything to me because I guess he was pretty shocked. And he believed that we had very good relationship, although that he always be, you know, he's always away because he was busy making movies. So it seems like, you know, I was quite afraid of my father for one reason or the other because, you know, we didn't really spend a lot of time together. But the relationship eventually being repaired afterwards, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time.
Well, you know, you denounced him and you were like a good boy for doing that in the eyes of the workers who wanted him denounced. And so you temporarily poison your relationship with your father. And at the same time, you're still punished by the Cultural Revolution. You're still shipped out from the city to a province to do hard labor. So did you feel really betrayed?
Not really. Because, you know, I've been sent to the countryside not because, you know, what I did to my father, you know, it's not even considered as a punishment. It's a sort of revolutionary activity.
Right.
You know, I mean, because young people at that time didn't really have any choice but go to the countryside to receive the re-education there by the Chinese peasants. So, yeah, I was pretty happy to leave Beijing at that time.
Why?
Because I thought that this is the beginning of new life. I was fed up with what happened there. I can't stand that anymore. I just felt I need to go. I need to leave. I'm looking for a new life. No matter what happened, then I'm going to take it.
So what were you assigned to?
To the province called Yunnan Province. It's very remote. It's, southwestern province.
And what kind of work did you have to do?
That's a jungle area that my job was to chop the trees. I consider that as a very bad job because I love trees. I love jungle. I love, you know, the rainforest a lot. But We cut the trees because, you know, we need to plant rubber trees there instead of the real original jungle. That's a terrible job. I hate it. But I was, you could imagine that, how sad I was at that time. Very depressed and no future at all. I have no idea what time I can go back to Beijing. Obviously, very sort of homesick.
How old were you when you were able to go back?
I was 16 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I denounced my father, I was 14. Then I was 16. you know, when I left Beijing for Yunnan province.
He was in jail for 2 years. Was that because you denounced him?
No. With or without denouncing of my father, you know, he was in trouble.
Right.
You know, he was sort of nowhere to go.
You ended up studying film and then, of course, making movies. Did your father's life as a filmmaker inspire you at all to become a filmmaker yourself?
Not really. I remember that I went to the film studio to see my father making a movie that I found is very boring. In 4 hours' time, nothing happened. You know, I asked my father, you know, why you're so slow, and he said that people are setting light.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. I wasn't, you know, feel like, you know, it's enjoyable to make a movie. My dream was to be a scholar with a piece of paper and a pen holding in my hand, you know, to do a research about Chinese classical literature.
Oh.
That was my dream.
So what happened?
No, I couldn't do it because that I wasn't very well educated in many ways, because I was the first year student of high school when Cultural Revolution broke out. I couldn't pass the general, exam, the regular exam, after school reopened in the year of 1977. That's the year when Cultural Revolution finished. And, yeah.
So you went to film school after the end of the Cultural Revolution.
Yes.
When the schools reopened after having been shot.
Right.
What was it like for the students and for the teachers to be back in school after a few years where there was no school?
I guess that everyone was very excited. Obviously, those professors and teachers who didn't teach for almost 10 years got very excited. And they're so happy to receive the new students. And I remember the first class we had when we became the film students. They said, we didn't know. We didn't teach anyone for 10 years. We don't know how to teach you guys. And obviously, I was very, very happy. I thought that's the turning point of my life. Everything now become very positive. I can be a film director, you know, that's really beyond my imagination, because I used to be a peasant, worker, and soldier. So I never thought that I can do a sort of that kind of job, you know. That's a very high job, something.
Did your father ever make movies again after the Cultural Revolution?
Oh, yeah. He did many, but he was getting old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was sort of isolate from life, and I think he didn't really do that well.
After you reconciled, did you become closer than you had been before you reconciled?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my father really, he was very, very supportive. Although that in the beginning that he totally rejected the idea that I'm going to be a film director. With very obvious reasons,
mm-hmm.
that what happened to him, he doesn't want that kind of things happen to me. But he just said, to be a film director is really a nasty job. It's difficult. But you have to remember one thing, that I mean, since you the decision is made, you will never give up. I that's unforgettable. What he said to me. I will remember that forever. My father already passed away for 9 years, so I still remember him, you know, what he said to me, and so on.
Can you repeat what he said to you?
He said that, he said many things to me, but, you know, there's only one thing I remember, which is that he said, never give up. As a film director, you have to sort of dig deeper and deeper to find out the new elements of human nature. That's your job. Your job is not just going to make more money than other people. and you have to know yourself. I'm so happy that you know, you understand yourself better than before. You didn't know who you were, so that's why you denounced me. Now you knew that. I'm sure that, I mean, you told me that you have made mistake. So I'm so happy that I forgive you, not because that you are my son, only because that you represent the future of our family. And you are not going to do the same thing again. I'm pretty sure about that. I'm comfortable with that. That's what he said to me.
I can see now why the music teacher in your new movie Together is based on your father, the music teacher who believes in the purity of music and in playing with your heart and in not worrying about fame or fortune.
Right.
Now, the advice your father gave you is difficult to advice to live by, making movies in China in a world where your scripts and your movies are censored. Because if you're going to be investigating matters of the human heart and human nature, you're going to be dealing in the world of ambiguity. And you're going to be dealing in the world where people aren't necessarily nice or doing the right thing, and where people certainly aren't necessarily supporting the communist government. And that's exactly the kind of stuff that the government isn't going to want you to be describing in your movies. Mm-hmm. You're just going to be at odds all the time.
Well, I'm still struggling. I think and that I know better why my father said that never give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy job, you know. But I'm used to this. You know, I'm comfortable with who I am, and I become, you know, more calm than before.
In the mid-90s, after you made your movie Temptress Moon, you said, I'm not ready to make a film about contemporary China because nothing is interesting now. Step by step, everything has been destroyed. Your new movie Together is about contemporary China. What changed for you that made you feel like you were ready to make a movie about contemporary China?
Well, you know, I used to be very angry because of my personal experience, you know, my experience about Cultural Revolution. I feel like the culture has been, you know, completely destroyed. This is my attitude towards what happened in the Chinese society. I feel like there's no sort of high culture at all. But now I become, you know, optimistic because the first thing I want to do is to be honest with myself. I used to focus on the history. Focus on what happened in the past. You know, doing something like, you know, Emperor and Assassin or Temptress Moon. Because the history itself is just like that. I'm very proud of the film called Emperor and Assassin. Because at least I told the people's story about the first emperor who began the dictatorship in China. So he was the one who created the whole system. And he got a lot of followers, even now. That's very important. But now I want to be honest with myself again, because I have seen many, many positive steps being taken in the society. And people are paying more attention to the culture. People are realized that, you know, the mistake they have made before. For example, when I see, something happen in front of me, like the old wall of Beijing being turned down, you see the huge smoke, you know, going up to the sky. Then I was very, very sad and angry. It's a long time ago. Uh-huh. You know, then people ask me, why you think it's so precious to have this kind of wall? I said, look,
of
the city.
The wall of the city being torn down.
Yeah, I just say, look, this is our protection. You know, I take any kind of art form, including music and art, you know, fine art, cinema, as the protection of human nature. Without that, how can we call ourselves human beings? Now I think, you know, very interesting things happen in Chinese society now. Something is very good, really. I think that this is a happy film. meaning that Chinese people are learning how to be happy. Happiness, the genuine happiness, is a gift given by our Creator, you know, God, you may say. If you don't know how to be happy, how can you call yourself as a rich people? You're not rich because you don't know anything about happiness. You see that particularly the young boy and his father. The young boy is just like a sunshine, you know, I mean, just coming into the life of those adults. Those professors and people like Lily, they're not necessarily happy. They're struggling to make more money, to, you know, to get the fame they want. You know, I mean, but I think this young boy lived a natural life. You know, he never really considered that I want to be rich and famous.
Chen Kaiga, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Chen Kaiga's new film is called Together. It opens tomorrow in New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and nationwide next month.